This episode of Voices of the Elephant is sponsored by DayCamp for Developers. Listen for a special offer at the end of this podcast. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, we're here today, and my guest is Chris Shiflett. Chris, I love your tagline. You are a web craftsman, and I don't say that sarcastically. I've seen your work. You truly are a web craftsman. You work on a lot of different projects, and I know you're real busy, so I do appreciate you taking the time today to talk to us a little bit.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, and thanks for saying such nice things.
Okay, our first question, I'm going to launch right in. The first question I've got, you're recognized in the PHP community as being one of the experts in the field of web application security, and you've talked at conferences. I think I've seen just about every talk you've done in the past 5 years, but you've talked a lot about security and designing for security and things like that. Has the steady drumbeat of security started to bear fruit in the PHP community at all?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess I should make a confession that I've not been beating that drum for about the past year, since I took a pretty lengthy break from conference talks and such. But I have a biased perspective, I'm sure, but I kind of feel like the PHP community is a bit more security conscious than a lot of the other communities that are out there, at least in the open source world and you know, possibly even greater than that. Mm-hmm. But whereas, you know, maybe in enterprise Java type development shops, there's a lot of like process and stuff around security that's actually really great. Open source development tends to be a little bit more free, where the developers have a lot more freedom to make mistakes or not, as the case may be. And in terms of that type of mentality, where there's a very sort of free reign in terms of development, I feel like the PHP community tends to be some of the most informed out there. And I'd like to think that I helped with that a little bit. But I think it also helps that, PHP kind of gets a bad rap, even though it may not deserve it. And that bad rap is useful in that it makes us all kind of pay attention.
That's true. And the general... The phrase that everybody throws around is languages are not insecure, applications are. But you're right. In the early days of PHP, the applications were not as security conscious as they are now. But they are – I see a lot of groups focusing very strongly on security. And it is people like you and others in the community that have been talking about it for so long. I mean, there was a time when you were planning a conference, you know, the first thing you had to check off was, do we have enough security talks? So – because it was such an important topic.
Yeah, and I think it still is. But – it's been pretty interesting over the years to kind of watch, you know, different communities discover things at different times and stuff like that. I feel like PHP has been pretty close to the forefront that entire time. And while the, PHP itself has had security problems of its own, I was never as concerned with that stuff because I completely trust the core development team to address those things as they come up. And I always kind of maybe felt that, you know, who's going to go after little old me when all the biggest websites out there are all built with PHP? You know, if there's some major vulnerability, I'm going to go after Facebook or something more interesting than, you know, seeing what Chris is up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're designing for security talk. That's the one where you do the change blindness. And yeah. The last time I saw that was Amsterdam when you were speaking at Amsterdam. And I knew the scene that you had taken a picture of and you had made a slight modification, and even knowing where you took that picture and knowing that scene, it trips me up every time. So,
yeah, that's a real hard one. That, if you go back and look at that photo, and you're part of the PHP community, if you look real closely, you'll actually see Helgi in the background, who is terrible at riding bicycles. It was the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
Too funny. Okay, let's move on to the second question. Staying on the theme of security, what's the biggest security mistake you see web developers still making?
Well, I probably have to eat a piece of humble pie here and sort of look at some of the mistakes that I make and have made, just because I don't look at other people's code as often in recent months and even within the past year or two. But I think cross-site scripting would still probably rank number one. And some of the most interesting attacks that we hear about these days will be worms or something that spreads and is sort of exciting to talk about, and it'll make a lot of news. And while often the mechanism that makes those things spread is something like cross-site request forgeries, which I think is like the most important attack that you've not heard of, I think cross-site scripting is probably still used to launch most of those types of attacks. So if you have a cross-site scripting vulnerability, it's super easy to make. And then from there, there's so much interesting stuff that people can do, bad people, to create worms and all kinds of other stuff, just mainly because all of the client-side technologies that they can then use in their arsenal of evil. And they don't have to worry so much about the same origin policy because all their bad stuff is within your origin because of cross-site scripting.
That's true. Do me a favor. Can you briefly explain to us what cross-site request forgeries are?
Sure. It's basically any attack where an attacker gets a victim to send a request of the attacker's choosing to a target website without the user having to do anything. So if you visit my website and I can make you send a request of my choosing to, let's say, Amazon.com, then that's cross-site request forgeries. And what makes them dangerous is if the request that I can get you to send to Amazon does something, like reveals some sensitive information or a vulnerability that actually existed, I could purchase something via you. And what makes it so hard to protect against, I think from our perspective as developers, is it's not an attack I had ever thought about until I heard of it, because you have the actual legitimate user making an actually legitimate request. Everything looks totally okay. So you honor that request and suddenly you've done something wrong. And that's what makes it really dangerous. And I think, you know, if you've never considered that scenario, it's probably worth looking that up and reading a little bit more about it.
Now, you've got a post on your blog about that because you used the Amazon example, but you actually did discover that at one time Amazon had a problem with this. And you could put a link somewhere and somebody could click it and order a copy of your book. I don't think it went through checkout, but at least it would add it to their cart. Am I correct?
Right. The original vulnerability would cause the purchase to be made. But I never wanted to have that exploit out just because it, you know, that would be pretty wrong of me, I think, if someone actually bought something. But just to correct you slightly, the click isn't even required. It would happen automatically. And that's what makes it really risky.
Oh, wow.
So I could have embedded that in the blog post itself so that if you read about it, my book is added to your cart, or, you know, with the actual vulnerability, you buy something.
And I'm sure Amazon is listening to this and now going through and auditing all of your affiliate fees. So no, I'm kidding. Well, that's very interesting. And I know in the recent past, Sony, one of the attacks, not for the network, but when they got their main site hacked, that was a simple SQL injection attack.
And, yeah, which is interesting, because you don't see those so much anymore because of prepared statements and stuff.
Yeah. I was very, very amused and a little alarmed that, you know, you still had major sites like that were vulnerable to that one, because of all of the attacks, that's one of the easiest to understand and defend against. So.
Yeah, you just kind of change your habits and then you're pretty good to go.
Yep.
Otherwise, you know, Bobby Table strikes again.
Yes, that's a good one. Okay. Third question. Let's get off of security now and talk about a project that you're working on called MapAlong. Tell us a little bit about it. How did it come to be? And what's cool about it? Why should people be interested in this project?
Okay. So for my developer peers, I tend to have a very specific way of thinking about MapAlong that's a little bit technical in nature, which is I think of it a little bit like Delicious was for bookmarks. MapAlong is sort of that same thing, except it lets you bookmark places in the real world on a map. So in the same way that when Delicious came around, suddenly all these individual silos we had of URLs that we were saving ourselves but weren't shared in any way, we got all these kind of cool intersections and all this cool stuff that happened just by making that public and giving people different ways to look at this data. So when it was really popular, I remember going to delicious.tag/php and just kind of keeping an eye on what people were bookmarking and tagging PHP. It was pretty interesting. And with MapAlong, you know, the foundation is a very similar thing, but with one big shared map. And we use Google Maps, so it's probably pretty familiar to navigate and use for most people. And if there's a place that you like, you want to remember, you can save it. As part of your places, you can tag it, add your own description, your own story about why that's meaningful to you. And then it's kind of neat to explore the world and see what maybe what you've bookmarked or what you remember, things that your contacts, people that you follow have added and things like that. And then sort of the larger vision is that we're trying to create a really interesting way to tell your story. Because I think a lot of our life experiences are richer when we tell them with context. And to date, computers haven't really done a great job of making that context any better than if we just have a conversation. But I think with MapAlong, being able to visualize where things take place has been really interesting to see and to watch it come to life. Whether it's because you move to a new area and there's a lot there that you can learn from your friends, or you know there's a road trip or something that you take and you want to record everything, there are always really interesting stories that you might want to remember. One of the things that sort of weighed into what we've been doing with MapAlong was a road trip around Iceland I took with Andre and Helgi, and this was after the Dutch PHP conference 2 years ago maybe. Mm-hmm. If not three. And we, as you might expect, you know, we spent each day having fun, and then 2 or 3 hours each night was spent hacking on code, processing photos and stuff like that. And we kind of built this travel blog that was really hacked together at first. And our first iteration of that was just a timeline. We took photos and tweets. And we knew the timestamp of all those things, and we just had this long stream so people could kind of follow along with what we were saying about the trip and the photos we were taking. And that's kind of analogous maybe to Twitter itself, because Twitter has become everyone's timeline, and it's really neat for that. Even stuff that may not fit neatly into Twitter, we're starting to link to, you know, so it's kind of like our global timeline of stuff. But with that road trip and the sort of trip blog or journal that we were building, as soon as we put that on the map and we had a GPS unit so we could draw the line and we could geotag tweets before Twitter had the support, it really brought that trip to life. And I even looked again at that recently, and it was really neat to sort of relive that experience. And so what we're hoping with MapAlong is to take some of that magic and bring to, you know, everyday life. Whether it's meeting someone for coffee or a really fun series of events one weekend, or, you know, a really interesting road trip around Iceland like we took. I think there are a lot of interesting experiences we have, and putting it all on a map, having your photos on a map, maybe adding in some check-ins if you use one of those types of services. It's really neat, I think, what we're doing and where we're going. And it's been really fun to work on.
Very cool. I remember when you took the road trip, and then the CodeWorks tour was that year, I think it was later that year. And I remember you did a talk on the system that y'all put together.
Yeah.
And that was a fascinating talk.
Yeah, it was really funny. I was worried that that talk wouldn't be a big hit because, you know, it wasn't really field tested. And suddenly I was agreeing to this conference where I have to give the same talk in lots of locations. So if it was a dud, you know, it was going to be a dud like 4 or 5 times in a row. But yeah, luckily people liked it, even though it wasn't full of super technical content or anything. I think a lot of people really have this like innate sense of adventure and connection with place. That's pretty interesting. So it's, you know, we'll see where it goes and what happens. But yeah, it's been really fun to work on so far. And I should mention that we're in private beta right now.
Okay.
If anyone that listens to this podcast like wants to totally cut line and jump to the front, just send me an email or let me know and just reference that you heard the voices of the elephant, and we'll just let you cut line, jump right to the front, and get in.
I'm sure both my listeners will email you tomorrow. So I appreciate it. One of the things I did find fascinating about that talk was you're right. It wasn't highly technical. You didn't delve into all the details or anything, but it's very inspirational. Look, this is what we did with PHP. And I know that's you're involved in Brooklyn Beta, and Brooklyn Beta inspired the PHP Community Conference. And that's kind of the impetus behind those is, this is what we're doing, you know, tell us a good story, show us what you're, or inspire us with what you're doing. And so that's what I always took away from that session, the 3 or 4 times I got to stick my head in during that conference series. So,
yeah, I mean, I like that the PHP community has grown up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And while I hope we never get away from our roots of sort of helping the people that are new to it, because that certainly helped me when I was new, having so many people explain, you know, the nuts and bolts of how things work. It's also really neat to see people talking about all the interesting things that they're doing with these technologies, because, you know, that's what's really interesting and really really drives us all, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick, before I let you go, what is your local user group and what's the URL?
My local user group is New York PHP, and it's at nyphp.org.
That's one of like the oldest in the country, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say that it is, but I'm just not sure. If it's not the oldest, then it's really, really close, because it's been around a long time.
Yep. Well, Chris, I thank you for your time today, and thank you for everything that you've done for the PHP community.
Oh, thanks a lot, Cal. It's been nice.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Voices of the Elephant. This podcast is copyright 2011 EICC Incorporated, and all rights are reserved. For more information on the podcast and to nominate someone to be interviewed, visit the website voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT. Day Camp for Developers is a one-day technology-agnostic online training camp for web developers. We cover the topics that you won't find at any other conference at a price that every developer can afford. Visit our website today. daycamp4developers.com and reserve your seat for the next class. As a listener of Voices of the Elephant, use the discount code VOTE to save $10 off your ticket. Day Camp for Developers. Invest a day in your career.